الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وفي ذلك فليتنافس المتنافسون وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم الصلاة عماد الدين من أقامها فقد أقام الدين ومن هدمها فقد هدم الدين أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم Most respected one of my ikram, brothers and elders. In Hadith Sharif it is mentioned that once Nabi Kareem صلى الله عليه وسلم was on a journey, he was traveling somewhere. So he was riding a camel, and as they were passing some place, one Bedouin came along. So this is being highlighted in the Hadith Sharif, that A'rabiyun, a Bedouin came. Just make it clear that this was not a person who had been living in Madinah Munawwara. Was somebody out in the somewhere deep in the villages, the desert. And what does this mean? That these people who lived far out, the Bedouins, they didn't have that opportunity to learn the etiquettes in the manner that it should be learned. They didn't have the opportunity to learn the manner of interacting with people. They would do it in their very informal way. And as it came to their heart and mind, because there's no arrangements, no facilities in all these far outlying areas for the ta'lim. So this is how they grew up. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would accommodate them. One very important point we learn from this is that this does not mean that this was the right way to go about things. But what it highlights nevertheless is the importance of ta'lim. That if a person wishes that he himself, his family, his children, that his children grow up also in a way that they become truly cultured, they learn the correct adab, the correct etiquette, they learn what they should be paying attention to in terms of how they should be living their lives correctly. So this requires ta'lim, it requires tarbiyat. Without the proper ta'lim and tarbiyat, this will just be a wish, a dream. So the ta'lim is fundamental. And ta'lim from the right sources. Otherwise, if it's from the wrong sources, Allah forbid, in the name of ta'lim, what we might get. So ta'lim from the right sources is fundamentally important. So that we too could learn all the various necessary aspects in terms of deen, the adab of deen, the etiquettes, the respect that deen demands. And our children could learn it. They could live their lives in that manner. Then the second part of this is that this was a Bedouin. So because he was a Bedouin, and like him many others, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to accommodate them. Meaning, there wasn't a hard line adopted with them. For things that they did sometimes which were completely offline. Once one Bedouin came into the masjid, just out of the blue, first time this person came into the masjid, and now the masjids of that time didn't have all the carpets and all the things that we have. Bare masjid, bare floor. So he came in and he suddenly had the need to relieve himself. He in one corner started urinating. As soon as the Sahaba saw this, they woke up to try and go and stop him, and obviously furious about this, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam stopped all of them. And he said, just leave him. Now outwardly this might seem that how can he be left to do what he's now already doing? But this was the firasat, the intelligence and the noor of nubuwat, that had the Sahaba rushed towards him, he would have seen this danger coming towards him. Maybe somebody's going to hit him because he doesn't know what they might do. He's going to wake up to run away. So right now, one portion of the masjid is getting soiled. If he starts running, Allah knows best how much of the masjid will get soiled. And one problem that's already happening, Allah knows best how much that problem will get escalated. So in this one amal, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam taught us a very great lesson that number one, try to avoid a problem obviously. And if the problem is already there, then contain it first. And then deal with it, then try to resolve it. Don't escalate it first before you try to resolve it. Unfortunately, that's what often happens. Whether in a home, whether in a family, whether in a business, whether anywhere in the community, or very often, not always, very often, if there's an issue, first it gets escalated. Then we try to think about now what's the solution to it. First contain it, and then try to resolve it. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam thought, contain this first. After it was contained, then when this person now had been sorted out, he called him, and then he sat him down and explained to him, look, this is a house of Allah Ta'ala. This is not the place for all this. This is a pure place. And whatever had to be advised to him, and then told the Sahaba to clean that place out, they dug the sand off, and they discarded that elsewhere, and brought new sand and filled the place up. So that matter was now taken care of, and everything was sorted out in a way that didn't escalate anything. There was a problem, got contained, got resolved. So that's the mindset that we are being taught of how to deal with things. So likewise, on this occasion, this Bedouin came, being a Bedouin. So now in his own way, he had something in his heart. He wanted to ask. But now, the best way he could think, which was far from the best way, that now I need to ask, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is traveling, he is on the move, but how can I get his attention? So he decided how to get the attention. He went and grabbed hold of the reins of the animal and stopped it. So now if somebody is, for example, driving off and someone comes and stands in front of his car, so now he didn't attract his attention first, please stop. He goes and stands in front of the car. Now this is a similar situation. So he held the reins and stopped it. So in any case, he stopped it and then he asked a question. When he asked the question he asked was, and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam didn't take any offense to his coming and grabbing the reins. He knows him. That this is a Bedouin, you can see him. The other very important point in this is that all the time there will be people coming who will be totally new into deen. They will have to be accommodated. And we'll have to teach them in a gentle way. Teach them in a manner that brings them closer. They cannot be treated in the same way like somebody is already there 10 years and like we are already there sometimes 40, 50, 60 years. But we still are still learning many things. So somebody is just new 1 week, 1 month, 1 year, he's still going to learn. When somebody had the opportunity to learn, he was there for an extended period of time already, he was dealt with differently. Sometimes they were reprimanded if they made some mistake that was out of negligence. So in any case, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam didn't take any offense. Now this person asked a question. And he asked the question, and he said, أَخْبِرْنِي بِمَا يُقَرِّبُنِي إِلَى الْجَنَّةِ وَيُبَاعِدُنِي عَنِ النَّارِ. Ask the question to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, tell me, what will bring me closer to Allah Ta'ala and what will distance me from the fire of Jahannam? Now this is a Bedouin, an Arabi, and to the extent that, as we mentioned just now, that they didn't even have the opportunity to learn basic etiquette, etc. But when a person applies his mind correctly, when his heart is in the right place, then subhanallah, what will come through that heart? What kind of fikr, what kind of concern, what kind of zeal, what enthusiasm, what will be his aspirations? When the heart, now despite the fact this is a person who's, as we'd call him, totally uneducated. illiterate, totally out, Bedouin, knows nothing. But his heart was in the right place. His heart was in the right place. So he asked the question, that tell me what will take me closer to Jannah and what will distance me from the fire of Jahannam. When he asked the question, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam stopped right there. He had already grabbed the reins. Perhaps the animal was still just slightly moving. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam stopped. فَكَفَّ النَّبِيُّ Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And then he looked around at the Sahaba who were all with, and he said, لَقَدْ وُفِّقَ وَقَالَ لَقَدْ هُدِيَ. This person has been divinely inspired. That this person asked this question, this is divine inspiration. But now where the inspiration came, on who it came, when the person has his heart in the right place, then Allah Ta'ala inspires him. When he's searching, he has that talab, he wants to get there. He wants to get closer to Allah Ta'ala. He's not making excuses and trying to duck and dive and trying to just appease himself in some way. And I'm doing something. But he knows what he's doing, something just to appease himself. He knows what he's not doing, and he knows what he's doing also that he shouldn't be doing. And he's appeasing himself in some way. That Allah forbid takes a person further and further back. But he's acknowledging, I've got a problem. I'm not where I'm supposed to be. I unfortunately am caught up in things which I should be far away from. I'm lacking in so many things. I need to correct my life. I need to get closer to Allah Ta'ala. There's that thirst within him. There's that concern. So now when he's genuine about this, he's sincere, and he's searching, Allah will open the doors for him. Allah Ta'ala will inspire him. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said to the Sahaba, لَقَدْ وُفِّقَ. This person has been divinely inspired. Then he said to him, that say what you said, repeat your question. So he already had heard the question. The question was quite clear. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam heard it, therefore he praised it also. But he asked him to repeat it so that if anybody else had not heard the question yet, they must also get to hear it. Subhanallah, what a question. What a concise thing he's asked. In this concise question is everything. So he repeated the question. Then, أَخْبِرْنِي بِمَا يُقَرِّبُنِي إِلَى الْجَنَّةِ وَيُبَاعِدُنِي عَنِ النَّارِ. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was very impressed with this question. He praised it because this encompasses the essence of everything. Why are we here on earth? What is our purpose? Morning to evening, what is the whole purpose of whatever we do? Why we are here in this whole time on earth? What is our destination, our goal? Imagine a person is jumping in his car and then now he's putting the whatever road maps, and now he has to punch in a destination. So the destination he punches in there, I don't know. Or anywhere. Subhanallah, where will he finish off? Something very interesting. Don't try it, but maybe try it, but don't travel. This is punching in, I don't know. Or anywhere, we'll see. Just keep driving. No, every person that jumps in that vehicle, he knows where he wants to go. He has a goal, a destination. Otherwise, without a destination, he's going to drive away and finish off. The question is, we are in dunya. Yes, we all do have this yaqeen that death is coming. As believers, people of iman, we have this yaqeen that in the akhirat, there's the day of qiyamah coming. We have this full yaqeen that there's jannat and there's jahannam also. But despite this full yaqeen, sometimes our actions belie this, that as if there is some question about it in our hearts and minds, the way that our life goes on, and it's as if we don't have a goal. Like a person now, he says, no, he wants to reach Durban, so he punched in Durban, and he's telling him, take a right turn here, so he's turning left. Then as he goes further, he says, no, take another turn here, right, he turns left. And he said, no, but he wants to go to Durban. His destination is Durban. And all the right turns, he's ignoring it. And he's taking all the left turns. But he still says that his destination. So somebody will say, but why? It doesn't work like this. You're going to finish off somewhere else. that you're going to have to follow the directions. The direction is take the right turn, you take the right turn, then you'll reach the goal. So likewise, alhamdulillah, as mu'mineen, we want to all get to Jannah. But then if you want to get to Jannah, we'll have to keep taking all the right turns. At the time of Fajr, we'll have to take the right turn out of the bed and towards the house of Allah Ta'ala. Was he taking the left turn and he's turning over to sleep even deeper? That's a big problem now. Because that's not going to get him to his goal and destination. He's taking the wrong turn. The person is walking on the street and now suddenly he's confronted. His eyes now want to go around looking at haram. So now the right turn is to lower his gaze. قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُضُّوا مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ وَيَحْفَظُوا فُرُوجَهُمْ. Now this is Allah's command. Say to the believing men to lower their gazes. So now he's taking the wrong turn, the left turn. So now how is he going to reach his destination and goal? So the point is, just as we understand this very simple, basic thing in life, that you want to reach a destination, you must follow the directions. So likewise, the destination of Jannat, there's a path to follow, there's directions. So in any case, the Sahabi asked the question, which encompasses the purpose of life. Every mu'min, why are we here? Our primary goal, purpose, destination is to reach Allah Ta'ala, to please our Rabb. Allah Ta'ala must become pleased with us. And Allah Ta'ala becomes pleased with us, our dunya is made, akhirat is made. وَرِضْوَانٌ مِّنَ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرُ. That's the ultimate. Allah's pleasure must be attained. So now how is Allah's pleasure going to be attained? So now if a person has this concern that he wants to get safely to the destination, so he'll learn about it and then he'll practice as well. He will learn about it and he will learn what is to be done. He'll do it. What's not to be done, he'll avoid it and refrain from it. So this Sahabi also asked this question because of this concern. That what's going to get me closer to Allah? That's my goal. And I don't want to do anything that will take me towards the fire of Jahannam. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made him repeat the question so that everybody would understand and hear the question. And thereafter, he gave him some advice. The question was very, very concise, but the answer was even more concise. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him, تَعْبُدُ اللَّهِ لَا تُشْرِكُ بِهِ شَيْئًا. You want to get safely to Jannat? You want to get closer to Jannat? Then the first step is that you must worship Allah alone. And don't ascribe partners with Allah Ta'ala at all. Worshipping Allah alone, this is not just any one aspect. It refers to and the path that follows it, لَا تُشْرِكُ بِهِ شَيْئًا, which means the iman must be correct. The aqeedah of a person must be right. All the things that are just floating around, so many things that are just flooding the market, and anything and everything we are reading, and because something sounds exciting, so we're listening. But where it's coming from, what's the reality of it? What kind of direction it's giving to somebody? One person read one book, and the book was a biography of Sayyidina Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala. Thick book. Biography of Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala. And written in a very captivating way, filled with all references, and really impressive, the presentation, the manner of how it's now explaining things. And by the time the person now, it started off on a note that it actually made him become very, very, his belief in the maqam of the Sahaba ikram and the impression that he had of the Sahaba even went higher. By the time he finished reading the book, na'uzu billah, he had doubts about the Sahaba. He actually started, in his words, he lost that respect that he had at that level for Sayyidina Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala. Where he's going to finish off, losing respect for those people whose Jannat was endorsed while they walked on this earth. The personality like Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala, the various ahadith that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam praised him and gave his manaqib and virtues, and that when you walk from one direction, shaitan flees from the other. لَوْكَانَ بَعْدِي نَبِيًا لَكَانَ عُمَرُ. Had there been a Nabi after me, it would have been Umar, one of the Ashara and Mubashara. And now here comes somebody, he read a book, and now he's got doubts about the personality of Umar radiallahu ta'ala an, where it came from. That whole thick book was written for that one chapter, maybe somewhere in between, or that one paragraph, which was deliberately distorted to create doubt. And often it's just one doubt that shaitan puts in the heart and mind to now corrupt everything. One person, he somehow met shaitan somewhere. Allah knows best what the whole detail of this is, but this is one incident mentioned. One person saw shaitan somewhere, so he asked him that you really create havoc. Why don't you stop this havoc you're creating everywhere? So now, as if shaitan is going to listen to any such advice. But any case, but you create this havoc. He said, I don't create any havoc. He says, but what you deny, you do this all the time. He said, look, let me show you what I do. What I do? So he says, what? Okay, come. So he went outside one mithai shop. So now, there was some, that syrup. So he went and took one dot of that syrup and put it on the wall. Somebody just off the floor, on the wall, one dot of that syrup of that mithai. So now when that syrup went on, that one fly came and sat on it. After that fly came and sat on it, in a moment, there was a lizard that came to now catch that fly. And as that lizard now was busy now catching onto that fly, that owner's cat was seated nearby. So that cat saw now the lizard came out of where it was. So now that cat pounced on the lizard. As it happened now that cat pounced on the lizard, one customer walked in with a dog. So now this cat was just jumping around, trying to grab that lizard. So that dog pounced on the cat and killed him. So the dog killed the cat. So the owner of the cat now got furious. He killed the dog. So the owner of the dog attacked him, killed him. So now the owner of the dog now committed this murder. So the next thing was that the police were there, and then they arrested this person. So shaitan stood on the side and said, What I did? I only put one piece of syrup in, one dot of syrup there. He says, yes, the whole syrup was to create this whole havoc. But now that's what shaitan does. One dot of doubt, and now the mind starts running in a negative manner, and Allah forbid a person's iman is shaken. So in any case, this is the important thing, that the iman must be right. تَعْبُدُ اللَّهِ وَلَا تُشْرِكُ بِهِ شَيْئًا. Iman must be right. Our iman, our faith in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala must be complete. And how will we understand how complete it is? That when Allah's command is that something is permissible, then Allah's permission is permissible, alhamdulillah. If Allah has forbidden something, then there is no ifs and buts about it. Allah has forbidden it, it's haram. You've got to stay away from it. Then our iman is in the right place. But if there's ifs and buts, we're living in a different society now, we're living in a different time, and we can't live the same way that deen that was revealed 1400, 1500 years ago was the deen till Qiyamah. Allah Ta'ala is all knowing, all seeing, all aware. Whatever Allah revealed on Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was for all times. In any case, this is the first part of it. تَعْبُدُ اللَّهِ لَا تُشْرِكُ بِهِ شَيْئًا. Having the iman right, the aqidah must be correct, staying away from all the things that will harm one's belief, and all the things that are coming through in the social media and whatever else, we should be very far away from just reading anything and everything. Many a person read some article, and now his mind went in a different direction, Allah forbid, he even became an atheist. Many youngsters, from time to time, asking for some solution to the issue. Heart is embroiled in some questions. What questions? Now they trying to unravel whatever they read somewhere, because now it made them doubt some fundamental aqaid. So this is not a small thing, it's a goes right to the core of iman. So in any case, the first aspect was ta'budullah la tushriku bihi shay'a. Then wa tuqimu as-salah wa tu'ti az-zakah. That establish salah and discharge zakah. Establish salah. Salah is the most fundamental ibadat after iman. And being a musalli, being a person who performs his salah, means 5 times daily salah. If there's 4 times salah, there's not a musalli. 5 times daily salah. And for adult males, it's wajib to perform it with jama'ah. Unless there's a valid shari reason for it. So the 5 daily salah, and perform correctly, perform with this adab and etiquette, and performing it with jama'ah, this is what's going to bring all the barakat in our lives. This is going to bring the direction. This is what's going to make hifazat. When salah is abandoned with jama'ah, let alone everything else, then even that opens the door to so many problems. What is the biggest problem? Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, he says that, ensure that you perform your salah حَيْثُ يُنَادَى بِهِنَّ, where the azan is being called. And then he further goes on to say that if you abandon the masajid, you perform your salah in your homes, and you abandon the masajid, لَتَرَكْتُمْ سُنَّةَ نَبِيِّكُمْ, then you have left out the way of your Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And وَلَوْ تَرَكْتُمْ سُنَّةَ نَبِيِّكُمْ لَضَلَلْتُمْ, and if you leave out this way of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this jama'ah that he has established, you will go astray. Now this is a very great sahabi of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and such a sahabi who was endorsed by Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Whatever Ibn Umme Abd, Abdullah bin Mas'ud, whatever he's happy with, I'm happy with. Meaning I have such confidence in him. What he says is endorsed already. So now this is to save ourselves from that misguidance. These are all fundamental things. So salah with jama'ah, establishing salah in all its, with all its adab and etiquettes, making sure salah is taking place in our homes, the women folk are performing it in good time, properly. Then zakat, if zakat is compulsory, that needs to be discharged, and discharged correctly. We need to consult the ulama ikram and find out, are we discharging our zakat correctly? How many times a person is asking some question about zakat, and by the way he comes, he didn't even come to ask about that. By the way, he says, well, every year, 28th of February, when we take stock, then that stock figure, I work out my zakat. 28th of February is not your zakat date. Zakat is calculated by the lunar calendar. And by calculating according to the solar calendar, over 30 years, he'll end up 1 year short. And to start off with, that calculation too will be off. Because this zakat date, and what are the zakatable assets on that date, the zakat liability will be calculated upon that amount on that zakat date. There are many details in this. This is just meant for us to understand. There's much to learn about it. And therefore we should be learning. This is a pillar of Islam. And therefore it has to be done right. So when a person has a tax return to give, so he'll even pay to get it done, some accountant, whoever, because it must get done right. There's no penalties must come on. So for the taxes, this is an ibadat. That is something that is taken away from a person. This is an ibadat. وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ. Allah says, from what we gave them, they spend out of that. So to learn the masail of zakat and discharge the zakat correctly, the correct discharging of zakat becomes a protection of a person's wealth. And it's obviously something that is a great ibadat, will take one closer to Allah Ta'ala. And then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says to him, وَتَصِلُ الرَّحِيمُ, and maintain family, join family relationships. So now the first was iman, that is obviously the foundation. Then was salah and zakah. Salah includes under it all the physical ibadat. And zakah under it includes all the monetary ibadat. So ibadat is either something physical or something monetary. So under this, every ibadat has come. All the obligations of deen are there. And then another category, another categorization is that deen is all about hukukullah and hukukul ibad. So in iman is the foundation, then salah and zakah encompasses the entire branch of hukukullah. Because these are the most important aspects of hukukullah. Because this is compulsory on salah on everybody, zakat on anybody who has that basic amount. And then under it is all the physical and monetary ibadat is all encompassed in it. So hukukullah in this entire category taken care of. And then hukukul ibad, the rights of the servants of Allah Ta'ala. So the rights of the servants of Allah Ta'ala, the most important rights are those servants of Allah Ta'ala who are closest to us in relationship. Starting off with our parents. And the rights of parents, which the Quran Sharif has highlighted, to the point of وَلَا تَقُلْ لَهُمَا أُفْ. Don't even say uff to them. Don't say uff to who? Uff to even parents who the Quran Sharif in another ayat time is already running out. But if Allah Ta'ala says, if the parents are mushrik, they are idolaters, they are mushrik, and they are insisting on that son to commit shirk. Allah says, فَلَا تُطِعْهُمَا. You can't obey this, obviously. But despite the fact that they are now mushrikeen, and this is what they are trying to do, you will never obey that, but you'll still not say uff also. And rather, وَصَاحِبْهُمَا فِي الدُّنْيَا مَعْرُوفًا. You will still deal with them kindly. Now this is the relationship which is after the ibadat of Allah Ta'ala, the most important relationship that Allah has made ordained upon us. That this must be maintained at that level. So now if the parents are mushrikeen, still that uff cannot be said. What about mu'mineen? And then all the relationships that then follow from there, the relationships between brothers and sisters, between family members, the relationship between spouses. This is obviously not family ties in that sense, but this is a bond sometimes beyond that. So now, many a times a person has got all the time for others out there, for friends, whoever, but the last bit of time is left, if anything, for his own family, people indoors. Whereas this is the priority for a person, that he should give due time which is a requirement for the different angles of deen, for their ta'aleem, for their tarbiyat, for their mental and emotional well-being. So this is the part of hukukul ibad, which is a very detailed subject, but in this short few lines, few words actually, the whole of deen is encompassed. And what we understand from this is, that deen is not just some department of deen, we take some things, leave some things. No, deen is a complete way of life. And from our ibadat, to how we deal with people, how we fulfill the rights of those around us, how we worship Allah Ta'ala, and serve and be just with the servants of Allah Ta'ala as well. So this question that the person asked, tell me what will take me closer to Allah Ta'ala, what will distance me from Jahannam, this entire deen is the answer to it. Now, many a times it might appear, well, this is a very big thing now, the whole of deen. So now, I'll start some other time. Time, there's no time. We have no idea when time will run out. The time is now. We have to start right now. We'll learn as we go along. But the learning must be for the purpose of practicing. Like we just, this person came, he asked a question. Many sahaba would ask questions like this. But when they asked, when they learned something, it wasn't for the sake of just learning. When they heard something, it wasn't for the sake of just listening. They asked for amal. One sahabi asked Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam for advice. He said to him, among many things, لا تسبن أحدا. Don't ever swear at anybody. Don't ever curse anyone, don't ever swear at anybody. So now, in they coming from Jahiliyat, it is all new in Islam, many of them. And in the times of Jahiliyat, that was the way of Jahiliyat. Sway anyone, sway anything. A slave especially, the slave had no rights at all, no position. Treat him anyhow, swear at him. Now here he came and asked for advice. Now he's coming from such a background. He's got years of this kind of life behind him. And when he asks for advice, he's given one line of advice, لا تسبن أحدا. Now he's relating this to his students or people much, much later. He says, from that moment, from that day, I've never sworn a free person, I've never sworn a slave, I've never sworn at an animal also. One advice, once. Because the zeal was to learn to practice. There was a goal, there was a destination. I need to get there. I need to get there. So what I learn, I must practice on it. So it was not a matter of just ticking a box. I learned this, I went and attended this. No, it was a matter of what I have to practice on. And in this way, they reached those heights and came to that point where Allah Ta'ala Himself endorsed them. Radiallahu anhum wa radu an. So this is the path we have to follow. We too have to get closer to Allah Ta'ala all the time. We too have to keep checking and double checking that we are not getting closer to Jahannam, to the wrath of Allah Ta'ala, the displeasure of Allah Ta'ala, the fire of Jahannam that is in the Akhirat. But for an ashiq, for a true lover of Allah Ta'ala, the greater Jahannam is the displeasure of Allah Ta'ala, which he already starts feeling in this very dunya if he has taken the wrong step. That the fire of Jahannam is a manifestation of Allah's displeasure. But the true lover, just knowing that his beloved is displeased, that is already a Jahannam for him. And the true ashiq of Allah Ta'ala, if he knows Allah is pleased with him, that is his Jannat. Then nothing else matters to him. That is what we have to develop within ourselves, that zeal, that enthusiasm to get closer to Allah Ta'ala. And for that, we have to adopt the right company. Be in the company of the pious, be in the company of those who are people of taqwa, be in the right environments, go out in the path of Allah Ta'ala, be away from things that take us away from Allah Ta'ala. The devices that surround us all the time. But let's take some stock of ourselves. Where is this taking me? How close is it taking me to Allah Ta'ala? Or is it taking me closer to the opposite direction? These are things that will harm us, doesn't benefit us. Allah forbid, maut comes suddenly, then it's too late. Now is the time to make amends, to repent, to turn to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala give me and all of us the tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana anilhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله اللهم لا نحصي ثناء عليك أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك جزى الله عنا نبينا محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم بما هو أهله ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين اللهم افتح لنا بالخير واختم لنا بالخير واجعل عواقب أمورنا بالخير بيدك الخير إنك على كل شيء قدير ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما ربنا فاغفر لنا ذنوبنا وكفر عنا سيئاتنا وتوفنا مع الأبرار ربنا وآتنا ما وعدتنا على رسلك ولا تخزنا يوم القيامة إنك لا تخلف الميعاد اللهم اغفر لأمة سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم ارحم أمة سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم اهدي وأصلح أمة سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم فرج الكرب عن أمة سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا يا مولانا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك منه نبيك وحبيبك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذك منه نبيك وحبيبك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم أنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه سيدنا محمد وآله وصحبه أجمعين والحمد لله.